Well, as it's everyone who's been up here can attest, it's a great privilege to just to be allowed to share God's word with you. And and so I just thank Steve and John, our pastors and the elders, and you for allowing me this opportunity to share God's word with you. The title of what I'd like to share this morning is called, Where is Your Treasure? And I'd like to begin with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, if we could put that up. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In this passage, Jesus doesn't say, if you seek a treasure, there your heart will be also. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So if it's assumed that we all have a treasure, where is yours found? For where your treasure is found will define both what that treasure is and where your heart is also. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. As we sang earlier, Lord, we just, and as Stacy shared, we just ask, Father, for that you would bless us with wisdom and revelation as we open your word this morning, Father. We so desire to know you, to feel close to you, to walk in your ways. Open our eyes this morning, O Lord. Renew our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin, I'd like to take a quick look at these two key words from this scripture, the words treasure and heart. Just want to review it real quickly so we're all on the same page. What is treasure? The Greek word used here is, and Steve will have to correct me if I didn't get this right later, thesaurus. Thesaurus. It means a deposit or wealth. It's the same word used in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26, if we could have that one up real quick. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Here the word is used to describe the vast wealth of Egypt. It would have been available to Moses had he remained in the royal household. It's also used in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. My purpose is that they may be, this is Paul speaking, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here, thesaurus is used to mean treasure, not of material wealth, but of wisdom and knowledge. The dictionary defines treasure as accumulated, stored, or hidden wealth in the form of valuables, such as money or jewels. When we hear the word treasure, most of us probably conjure up this pirate's treasure chest overflowing with gold coins and silver and jewels and the end of a sword or something coming out of it. But the word treasure is also defined as a person or anything considered especially precious or valuable. The verb form means to value highly, to treasure someone or something. What does treasure mean to us? If I did a survey among you right now, I bet I'd probably hear a different answer from almost every single person as to what you thought of when you thought of your treasure. So let me just throw out a few ideas of my own. Our personal treasures can be things that we have or things that we don't have. They could be things that we desire to have. But they're always going to be things that we value highly. They can be things that we look to for our financial security, such as bank accounts, investments, pensions. They could be outward things like expensive lifestyles, beauty, homes, cars, boats, jewelry, things that people can see. They could be things that give us status, such as our jobs, leadership positions, our education, things that we believe establish us as valuable, desirable, or important to the world in which we live. Our treasure can be anything that we're looking to for our security and our happiness. Now, I want you to understand that I am not saying that there's anything wrong with these things, because they can all be blessings to our lives. What is meant by the heart? And we're not speaking of the physical organ that pumps our blood here. The Greek word used here is cardia. It refers to the center of a person, where the thoughts and feelings reside. It's the same word that's used in Luke chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. So they, the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The dictionary defines this version of the word heart as the vital center of one's being, emotions, sensibilities, capacity for sympathy, generosity, compassion, the center of one's will, one's heart. What do we need to understand about how this heart works? It's only natural that our hearts, being the center of our will and emotions, it can be interested in and attentive to those things that we have invested ourselves in. For example, those of you who have financial investment, what happens when you invest in a particular stock or fund? You may have passed by that stock dozens of times as you surveyed how your investments were doing. You never even noticed it. One day your broker suggests it's a good buy. You purchase some shares in it. Suddenly, you have a real interest in how it's doing. You care about it now. You younger folks, there may be a band that you've heard before on the radio and you like their music, but you don't pay that band a lot of attention. You don't buy their music. But one day, a friend invites you along to a concert in Charlottesville where that band is playing and you go along. The band makes a real impression on you. The music's good. The musicians really engage the audience. Now you find yourself downloading their latest songs and paying attention if you hear any of your friends talking about them. Before, they were an okay group. Now, they're an okay group that you care about. That's because the interest that we show in something is directly proportional to our attachment to it. For example, you know that stock you invested in earlier? That stock began to do really well. And to your broker's absolute horror, you liquidated all of your other investments and invested them all in that one stock. Now your financial future rests upon how that stock performs. I suspect that that stock is now going to get 100% more attention than it did before. Why? Because you're dependent upon it. Your financial security is attached to it. Let's look again at that band. What if you came home from that concert and you were so moved by what you experienced that you decide that this is what I want my life to be like? I want to look and act and talk just like those guys. I think I'll take up the drums. So you dress like them. You begin to hang around people that listen to their music all the time. You fill your room with their posters. Spend everything you earn following them around to all their concerts. Why? Because you've become dependent on who they are for your identity. You more than just care about them now, you need them. Let me tell you a story about our middle son, Mike. He was a huge Michael Jordan fan. He had Michael Jordan posters all over his walls and ceilings. Remember the ones with Michael like in midair with the universe behind him and that kind of stuff? He had every Jordan playing card available. I don't think he ever missed a Chicago Bulls game that was televised. I really like watching Jordan too. Well, Michael Jordan, at the top of his game, decided to leave basketball and become a professional baseball player. And many of you may remember that. Well, there were tears shed in my house when that news hit. No, they were not mine. Maybe they were mine. They belonged to a young boy who dreamed to be like the greatest basketball player of his day. When Michael Jordan decided that basketball wasn't the most important thing to him, all the excitement and joy that Michael Jordan, the basketball player, represented to my son was crushed. At the very heart of who we are, we desire security, attention, a purpose for our lives, acceptance, excitement, peace, and joy. We were created with the capacity to desire those things. We were created with a need to treasure something. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. Why not on earth? There's something wrong with having, desiring earthly things, earthly wealth? The answer is no. The Bible does teach about not being greedy. In Luke chapter 12, 15, Jesus, responding to a question from the crowd, said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Wealth can be a great blessing. The question is, who does it belong to? Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Haggai 2:8, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." Deuteronomy 8:18, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." 1 Corinthians 6:19, 20, "You are not your own." You are not your own. You were bought at a price. God owns all things, including us. We're merely the stewards of his wealth, his treasures. This world and everything in it, including us, is his creation. You might say, but I'm not wealthy. This doesn't really concern me, does it? You don't have to be considered financially wealthy to be in bondage to what you do have. We are all called to be stewards of God's provision to us, whatever that may be, not the owners. We have responsibilities to use what God has given to us to provide for our family's needs, plan for the future. I mean, that's just a part of being a good steward. But what Scripture is warning us of here is that these things can become our treasures. And if they do, we become dependent upon them and not upon God who provided them. Our hearts then belong to these treasures and not to the true owner of the treasures whom we serve. Further in Matthew 6, verse 24, we read, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money or mammon, wealth. I saw a story on the internet about Mark Twain when he was lecturing in Utah. He apparently got into an argument with a Mormon about the subject of polygamy, which you know means having more than one wife. The Mormon confidently asked Mr. Twain, can you find a single passage of Scripture that forbids polygamy? Certainly, Twain replied, no man can serve two masters. I didn't even get permission from Jan to say that. It doesn't say that to have wealth or any other gift that the Lord has blessed you with is wrong. Jesus says that it must be in subjection to God's authority. You cannot serve God and also be subject or ruled by the treasures of the world. Because whoever or whatever is in control of your heart, of your will, is your master. Remember the story of the rich young man who approached Jesus asking him, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? When Jesus replied that if the young man wanted to enter life, then he must obey the commandments, the young man said that he had faithfully kept them all. So what did he still lack? Jesus then told him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He had great wealth. Or you might say, his great wealth had him. Did this young man have any idea how little value his earthly riches were compared to what he had to gain? Where was his heart? Sadly, his heart was found where his treasure resided on earth. His heart, and thus his will, were controlled by his earthly treasures. Earthly treasures. Some thoughts. Why your mouth gets so dry up here? Anybody understand the physiology of it? Does. Some thoughts on earthly treasure. Earthly treasure can take any form. It doesn't have to be money or even things that money can buy. It can be anything that captures our heart that becomes more important to us than the things of God. Our earthly treasure is always temporary. It will be left behind. The story is told that at John D. Rockefeller's death, someone asked his accountant, how much money did John D. leave? His reply, he left all of it. Whatever treasure you have on this earth stays here. The scripture speaks of rewards given, also spoken of as heavenly treasure. I'll read a few. Matthew 6:21. The rich young man was told, "Go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Ephesians 6:7-8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Luke 6:22-23. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just like your Father is merciful. And Matthew 10:42, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. How do you obtain heavenly treasure? These scriptures I just read speak of being generous with the gifts that God has given you. In all that you do, do it in service to the Lord. Enduring ridicule and persecution for His sake. Showing mercy, even towards those who hate you. And giving to those in need. How do I redirect my heart towards treasures in heaven? Our hearts, they're going to follow our treasure. They will follow our treasure. And our treasure will be whatever we give ourselves to, whatever we give our resources to. We can invest in ministries that God directs us to. With our time, prayers, and resources, you'll discover an elevated level of caring about those things, because you'll now be a part of them. You'll be part of their success. They'll become important to you. You'll be attached to them. Open up that communication link that you have with God called prayer. Let Him speak to you about what is on His heart. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you in God's Word those things in your life that are of God and those that are not. The scripture speaks of heavenly rewards, heavenly treasure. What exactly are these treasures? What are these rewards in heaven? Let me ask you, what do you think you would desire in heaven? When you have been given eternal security, when you have been given an eternal body that will never decay or age, when there is nothing hidden there, everyone there knows you and loves you, what would be of great value to you in a place like that? Wouldn't the object of our affections be Jesus Himself, the one who died for us, the one that made it possible for us to be there? Wouldn't He be the object of our adoration and love? Wouldn't His thoughts and desires of His heart be the thoughts and desires that we would treasure and desire to fulfill. When every fiber of your being longs to honor and bring Him glory, I would imagine that your heart's greatest treasure in heaven would be to be allowed to serve Him. Isn't that also your greatest treasure here? In whatever avenue He may call you to walk according to the Holy Spirit's direction, and to give yourself away in His name. Jim Elliot, one of the missionaries that was martyred in the Amazon jungles, and you may have read the book or seen the movie, The End of the Spear, he wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." If we become consumed with storing up treasures on earth, our lives will be filled with worry and concern, finally, great disappointment. If we allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts and our lives, we'll not only store up treasures in heaven, but despite the storms that may come in our lives, we will spend our lives on earth filled with and anticipating ever greater joy. That sounds really good on paper. But you know what? That's God's promise to us in His Word. That is something that is so incredibly special that it's hard to get your mind around. That no matter what you're experiencing, and I know many of us have gone through storms, maybe going through storms right now, there may be one coming your way, but in the midst of those storms, the Lord has promised that His peace and His joy, righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom of God has come into our lives, that we are a new creation. Well, brothers and sisters, in answer to the question, where is your treasure? I know that there are many things that are important and dear to us, things we might say we treasure. People we love, relationships that we cherish. But there's only one that our hearts were created to treasure above all else. And listen, here's the most wonderful part. Obtaining this treasure doesn't depend on what you look like, what your job is, where you live, how popular you are, your importance, your success, your health, or your wealth. This treasure is a free gift to all who would ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. This treasure is a personal relationship with God Himself. And now, if you would allow me, I'd like to do something I felt like the Lord laid on my heart as I was preparing this. I'd like to suggest a simple prayer. It's one that we could begin every day with. I felt that God gave this to me as I was putting this together, as a reminder of where our true treasure is found. I'm not I'm not one that really enjoys responsive reading and praying, but I would ask, though, this one time as I lead, if you'd pray it along with me now. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, guard my heart, for you are my treasure. All that I am and all that I have belongs to you. Use them today for your glory. Amen. Thank you. Love you guys.